Hello, and welcome to the Resilient Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly West, and with over 25 years in healthcare and the coaching and wellness space, I know how the stress and overwhelm of life can become our downfall. My hope for this podcast is to bring you real-life strategies and stories of resilience to help you gather the wisdom, strength, and insight that lies within your soul already. Make no mistake, you are here for a reason. Sometimes you just need a guide to help you see that truth. Now let's get to it and transform your burnout to bliss. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Resilient Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly West. And on today's show, I have my good friend, Colin Sherrick, with me, who I find so inspiring. And so I invited him on the show to just have a conversation with you all about resilience and sharing a little bit about his story and everything he's facing, kind of his take on resilience. So welcome to the show, Colin.
Thank you, Kelly. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. So we met like probably, I would say like 10, 11 years ago. It's been a while. So I follow your journey and kind of everything that's gone on in your life, and we've worked together and those kind of things. So I'm just excited to have you on. One of the things I know that you're very involved in is biking. How did you get involved in, I know you weren't always the biker, were you? And then triathlon stuff. Did you always do that as well?
Yes, I didn't actually. I was very late to the game. Ironically, when we moved to Denver, a young lady that my wife and I had befriended, she was just diagnosed with MS and she was on a bike MS thing. She said, "Hey, Colin, I know you're thinking about biking the Courage Classic, that the event with children where they bike through the mountains was coming up." And she's like, "You know, if you want to try this biking thing with me." And so I started my adventure with her. 2008, I guess, was the first time I'd ever been on a bike outside in a road bike setting. And it developed from there. I loved it. It was exercise, an escape, everything from that perspective. So
that's what I was wondering. So was it, it was pretty easy, it sounds like, for you to get into the biking. It wasn't a chore, or some people get on and give it a try and they're like, "Oh God, this is a long trek to go however many miles on my bike." But for you, it sounded like you took to it pretty easily.
I enjoyed team sports growing up, but I really enjoyed activities where I could drive myself, where I was really competing with myself. And cycling was definitely one of those things where I could see where I would cycle Lookout Mountain. And okay, the next time did I cycle Lookout Mountain, how'd I do? So I was competing with myself on a constant. And so I really took to it, really enjoyed it. And been from there. So
that's awesome. And so that was 2008 and you competed. It's interesting. So you met somebody who had MS back in 2008 that kind of got you into cycling. And then you were doing competitions, or did you start because you did a few triathlons as well, didn't you? Or
then a handful of full Ironmans and half Ironmans. And I really fell in love with although I despise swimming with every ounce of my body, I enjoyed running. And I had a friend that kind of turned me on and said, "Hey, if you enjoy this, you ought to give it a shot." And probably 2010, after I developed a competency in cycling, I thought, "Let's do this." It was a rattlesnake triathlon in the Aurora Reservoir. Quick 800 meter swim and 12 mile bike ride and a little 5K. And that kind of hooked me at that point. I thought, "Wow, this is pretty awesome." So
that's
still
cool.
Hate to swim, but
it's a short part of it, right? Relatively. And so you were competing and doing different rides and all of that kind of stuff. And then take us a little fast forward to a couple years ago, your story kind of going into your own diagnosis.
So it was really enjoying the life of being in the mountains and all the cycling and the summer activities. And like I said, my friend who had MS, I did the bike MS with her and supported her. And up till about 2019, obviously, I was pretty awakened by a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis myself, ironically. So here I am supporting someone for 10 plus years, patting her on the back. "You got this. Go it. You can beat this." And then hello. So up to that point, in regards to the diagnosis itself, just wasn't feeling myself. I was feeling a little more concerned about fatigue. And all of a sudden, I started having these weird numbness feelings in my extremities and just some very odd symptoms. And I thought I needed to go get checked out. And sure enough, that was after a couple MRIs and a spinal tap later, they said, "Hey, you've got multiple sclerosis. Let's start the treatment plan."
Wow. So, and that kind of go through, because I can't imagine, I've been an oncology nurse in my past for a long time and dealt with people that have this diagnosis of their kids that they
absolutely don't expect. And then, or being, we've all had somebody that has had probably cancer or other diagnosis. What was it like for you to get such a diagnosis when you've been so healthy and supporting somebody and then this ironic and always focused on your health and then having this diagnosis? What are the things that kind of initially that you remember? Do you remember what like ran through your head or those initial thoughts?
So my first thought was, is this contagious? Because I've been hanging out with this individual for so long. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So the reality was I was at the peak of my fitness. I mean, I was probably in the best shape I'd been in my life. I'd been training extremely hard, been competing in a number of events, and it didn't seem real. Now, it would be as if I knew all about the disease or a good portion because I've been supporting the MS Society and I've been working with my friends that have been diagnosed. And so it just didn't seem real. It really struggled. And from a mentally perspective, it was I think everybody goes to the why me, what, this doesn't make sense.
For sure.
I do everything right. I eat right. I train. So there was a very dark couple of months of why me.
Sure.
So it was, I tried to be as normal about it as possible. Mm-hmm. And for my good friend, what she did, I watched her accept it. So that's the first thing I have to do. I have to accept this. Mm-hmm. I have to broadcast it to everybody and let everybody know that I'm fighting this and I've got to own it. And probably was not the right direction I went. So I struggled initially.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have that. We all deal with it in such a different way. I mean, and when I've watched certainly families deal with their child's diagnosis, like, so it's a variety. Many people, like, they're ready to shout it from the rooftops, or they're ready to just like keep it under wraps, or they're in denial. They don't want to believe it. So it's totally, I think that's just a human nature thing for us, is that we all have a different way of dealing with things like that. And it is, it's shocking to our bodies. It's shocking to our brains, your nervous system is like, what the hell? I think it just takes a lot of time for some people to certainly kind of come to terms with that.
And I think where I didn't allow myself to come to terms with it, I went through what I thought I was supposed to do, how I watched people respond and react to it, but I never really gave myself the time to really absorb it and to understand it. And so that was a challenge that I, many months later, almost a year later, I finally realized I need to accept this and really own it. And then grow from it because it's here. Trouble speaking, brain fog, all of a sudden my gait's a little different because of some nerve damage, et cetera. So now it's not so much, okay, I got those things. Now how do I work with that? How do I still become? And I think in reality, that's the resilient aspect of things is how do I take what I have, deal with it, set my bar. Even my bar is going to be a little different, but now I still need to have a bar to reach for, a goal to reach for. So
absolutely. So how did you, what did you, you said that was about a year kind of into kind of that turning point, so to speak. So looking at your own reality and deciding like how you were going to go forward with this. I remember seeing some things, you know, just really trying to, like you started off saying like you loved sports that really challenged yourself. So was this similar in that way? I can imagine like challenging yourself, like what's the next thing I can get to? Like, okay, I have this diagnosis, so maybe I can't be at this level that I was. Was it anything like that? Or how did you look at that?
So everything with racing through triathlons and Ironmans and the marathon, it's all about the clock. The clock was thrown away at that point in time. And it took me a long time to realize the clock isn't what's important anymore. It's the ability and it's my own success. So now finishing the Ironman, finishing the half Ironman was the end goal. Now, how do I, because you're right, a lot of it's a self sport dealing with this. And so now I change. How do I train? Obviously, my right leg is much weaker than my left. So, okay, how do I adjust to where I strengthen certain aspects? So, there's different goals inside that now that I'm trying to. Right. It's easy just to sit down and say, well, I just can't do this. And this is ridiculous. Like, where's the Oreos? And I'm going to sleep an extra hour, which is still not a bad thing to do. But it's now it's training and adjusting to meet those challenges individually. Mm-hmm. So,
that's awesome. And so, where do you feel like that was kind of their turning point a year ago? How would you say your resilience is maybe either you found that resilience or you're still striving for that? Like where you are at now, another year later?
Yeah. So I don't think I haven't found the key to it yet.
Yeah.
I still struggle, especially as new things pop up. Mm-hmm. MS likes to remind me occasionally that, hey, I'm still here. And one of the things that I find the most resilient, I'm very fortunate to work in healthcare. So I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by people that I am much better off with what I have than seeing other individuals, if that makes sense. And so realizing how fortunate, how lucky I am, the big part of that first year of understanding the disease was I was mentally I was limiting myself. So maybe I didn't have as many physical things, but I thought, okay, this is MS. This is what's causing me to have these problems. And getting through that, right? Realizing that I need to get past the mental aspect and forget about the mental, just try to move forward the best way you can. So I still fall back, still get back this woe is me a little bit, but got an amazing family. I've got amazing friends that support that. I have goals that I still have out there. I don't allow myself to just be okay, that's done. And so for this year forward, I've really set a lot of smaller goals to try to reach and accomplish. So
no, totally. I think that's one thing that I think a lot of people that I've talked to about resilience across the board, it's really having one support, having that support around you, whatever that looks like, whether it's your family, your spouse, friends, a healthcare community, like all of, and all of that, those things individually and all those things collectively can be such a difference maker. And then, like you said, having those goals, I think when we always have goals in our life that we're striving for, it helps us to think about what is that next thing we want to move forward. And we're always growing. So I just feel like if we don't have goals in our life, no matter what it is, whether it's our career, whether it's our health, whether it's our relationships, it's just, we're not moving forward and we're not growing in our lives. And I always believe that it's best for us to continue growing. So I love that you found those things. And I absolutely can totally understand, like, it's human condition to just kind of sometimes fall back. And, but it's also finding that, that strength within you to continue moving forward.
Absolutely.
So you had mentioned working in healthcare, and I know my listeners have known that I've been a nurse and I worked in healthcare as well. It's how we met. And just, it's interesting because I've always thought about resilience, especially in this last year or so, the last 18 months, the amount of things that so many people in every aspect of healthcare, every aspect of the world, really, but certainly when we talk about healthcare, how many people have struggled. What have you seen, experienced with those around you that you've worked with in healthcare, and how they've kind of worked through, and what lessons that maybe have you learned in your own personal life that you would say would be helpful for maybe somebody to think about incorporating?
It's absolutely been a brutal year for everybody. And the labor shortage is the largest stressing point. Every single hospital that I work with, there's significant need and there's a workload that's just unattainable. It's not sustainable to some of the managers that we're working with. Mm-hmm. And they're working 12 to 16 hour days and they're not enough resources. And you can just see the burnout, which is a very real thing. And what I try to do is, for me, it's all been about the little wins. So instead of having this large goal of I'm going to accomplish it, it's what's my win today? What's my win for this week? And trying to really take that elf and find out which piece you're going to eat. And then also the sense that you can't do everything. You are human. You're going to have breaking points. Self-realizing what those breaking points are. And it's okay to back up a little bit and just slow down. And so I try to work with my team, get out, take a walk around the hospital, go take an extra long lunch, or just try to do whatever you can to keep that mentality of that I'm going to have some sort of win. I'm going to have a break for myself. And that seems to work for most parts. Now, doesn't change the operational need.
It's challenges.
But, trying to have their self-health on the forefront. And also letting them know that people care about them. They care about my team. They care about their associates, making sure that they know they're not alone in that perspective. So
absolutely. I think that's the one thing similarly that I learned. But I think also in healthcare, sometimes we just need to, I don't know, in my mind, look at how we can best support each other. Like you were saying, really encouraging your team to go take a walk, to go do those things. And sometimes it's like, really, like, what can I do to help you in some aspects to allow you to do that? I know for nurses, sometimes it's very hard to get off the floor. It's great to say, go take a walk, but that's not realistic. And so like it works for some people, but then also like, what are the things that we can do and how can you really break away from the stress and maybe the overwhelm of whatever you're facing that day, whether it's personally or at work or professionally, like just being able to slow down. I know for me, I've really leaned into breath work and meditation and really slowing myself down and realizing how important that has been to my own self. I think we don't realize how much we just, I don't know, for me, I'll just say that I always was like a workhorse, kind of just go, go, go and work all the time. And it's fine. I'll just rest rest at some point later, but you don't realize how much that affects our health mentally and physically. And sometimes it's just slowing down and saying, I need a few days off too, whether that's just going for a hike, going for a leisurely ride in the mountains, or just getting away in nature somehow to just kind of like take those breaks too. So I'm glad that you're see that and support that in healthcare as well, because I think that's one of the things that has been really hurts my heart a lot, to see a lot of healthcare staff just really in all, whether it's nurses or RTs or providers or the cleaning staff, or it's all levels, that they're just struggling in so many ways with everything that's been going on.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that I think has been important is just making sure they know they're not alone. That my team, I deal primarily with my management team. And so they trying to work with them, and we'll get on calls where just an hour of anything they want to talk about, for them to realize, because they're so spread out across the Rocky Mountain range, it's so important to realize that they're not alone in this. And then anything that we can do to help each other. I've had managers break off and go to other locations to provide support, and that seems to have helped quite a bit. So
that's awesome. I think that goes back to like what you were saying for your own goals and your own, how you deal with your own personal challenges, is that having that support. So that I think is super key. A lot of people can sometimes feel super alone, and especially in the last 18 months, sometimes you feel very alone. There's a lot of isolation, a lot of disconnection. And so going and being able to let people know that they are supported, that they are not alone, I think is a huge key to building that resilience. That's awesome. Yeah. So I just wanted to, curious, are you still flying? Because I know that's one of your other passions.
Yes. Again, small wins. So actually, that was one of the indications. I was flying back from Casper, Wyoming by myself, and I was having symptoms. And that was, I didn't realize I had MS at that point in time. That was one of the main things that, obviously, when you're up flying and you can't feel your feet, there's a problem there.
For sure. So,
unfortunately, because of MS, I'm no longer, didn't obtain my medical to continue flying. But again, what's the win in that? That was a big struggle for me to find a win. And so I still teach. I can teach groundwork, and I can teach new pilots instrument rating. I can help with that. And I'm working with my boys, starting them. So there's, I'm finding wins where I can still enjoy it and still move forward. But not personally flying myself any. So,
well, I love that you found another positive win in that, because rather than giving it up altogether, because I know it's something you love, and finding a way to at least still be involved in that and still help other people and inspire your boys and get them going. So that's awesome.
It'd been easy to walk away from it and say, well, I just can't do that anymore. I mean, I wasn't going to let it win in that situation. It was something I was very passionate about, much like cycling and running and et cetera, but wasn't going to let that be taken from me. So
yeah, that's awesome. I love that. How have the boys in your family been, especially your boys? I know they're young, and like, do they understand like what's been going on with you, or they still too?
So, 9 years old this past August, and last year they understood what was happening. It was very challenging. One of them excelled at the homeschool. The other one needed that social interaction with people. And so it was two different worlds for them. You want to talk about resilient. They taught me about being resilient. Day in, day out, they tried their best. They made the best of it. They did their best. They had some great teachers that, again, provide support. I could speak worlds of the teachers that are in our Flagstone, in our Douglas County area.
That's awesome.
And so they did well. My four-year-old went to preschool every day. He didn't, you know, he was still eating crayons and playing with...
Not knowing anything's happening in the world.
But the nine-year-olds grew up so fast in this past year, and they're absolutely great examples for me. So
we can learn so much from our kids, so many times that they can, you know, I've done pediatrics for my whole life, and just seeing like how many kids, how resilient they are, no matter what they go through. It's really amazing. So we can learn a lot as adults.
Definitely. So, but they're doing well. My wife is busy. I mean, she deals with healthcare reimbursement, she's been working CDC substantially, obviously. And she also works with the 9/11. So it's an interesting day for her, but the World Trade Center Health Fund, she actually runs policy and procedure for that. And
that's right.
She's a great example of resiliency as well. Yeah. I mean, she's the things that she deals with on a daily basis in regards to some of the people still impacted by 9/11. So is just amazing.
And that's amazing. I mean, for those of you that, I don't know when you'll listen to this podcast, but we're recording it on the anniversary of 9/11. And so it's a very great day to remember all of those things. It's something that certainly is on top of a lot of people's minds.
So they're all good examples for me, so that I have nothing to cry about.
No. Well, and that's why I love your inspiration and really being able to show other people, like, you know, no matter what we go through, there can be dark days, but I think that we all have that ability to find find that strength and that resilience within us. Even if you go through a few months of darkness, doesn't mean you're not resilient. So some people, we get down on ourselves, or we beat ourselves up like, I should be doing better, or I should be dealing with this differently, or what have you. But sometimes we just need to take a step back and understand that we just need to sometimes take time for ourselves and to allow ourselves to understand what it is that we're dealing with.
Again, goes back to the support of friends. And I've got some amazing individuals that I think one of the biggest things for me was being able to talk and just communicate what I'm going through personally, or just having that support in that, and having that support system around me has been tremendously beneficial. I mean, it's just been, makes me realize I'm not alone. Even if someone's not experiencing what I'm experiencing, they're there to support me and encourage me, and or even tell me to suck it up. Hey, you know, get over it, Colin. You're doing great. So
sometimes we all need that kick in the pants as well.
Yeah, huh? Absolutely. One friend that wants to do it more often than I ask. But,
that's awesome. Yeah. So we all need that friend. So you're still being active and those kind of things. Are you still involved MS Spike community and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So this past year was the first year. They canceled it last year, obviously, due to COVID. This was the first year where I was a rider with MS. And ironically, my friend who I'd supported for so many years, she actually took a break. She went to challenge herself by climbing all the 14ers in Colorado. And so she's on her own adventure. And so still actively involved and trying to become more involved in the MS society in general to support them. So raising money and bike rides. And
That's awesome.
It's been good.
That's great. So if people have family members or themselves diagnosed or just want to learn more about MS or the MS Society, how can they find that? Is it just the website or?
Yeah. So the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Colorado, and I forgive me for not knowing the website, but maybe we can put that on here, has a tremendous amount of information for, and it's Colorado and Wyoming. So there's a dual chapter, and there's a lot of information for individuals that either know somebody with MS. And as we talked about earlier, I think before the podcast, is multiple sclerosis is a very unique disease in the sense that no two people are impacted the same. You have some similar numbness or tingling or brain fog, but it's a disease where you never really know what the other person is going through. And so there's a lot to learn about it, a lot of ways that people can support individuals that diagnosed with MS or either long-term or just recently. It's a great knowledge base. So, and the Rocky Mountain National MS Society out of UC Health, Dr. Alvarez is my neurologist there, and he's got an amazing program for communication and just knowledge. So
awesome. That's so cool. So you will definitely, you can send me those. We'll link those up in the show notes. What if people want to get involved in the rides or those sort of things? Is it the same place they would get involved through the chapter?
So the chapter has Bike MS. There's multiple events. They have Mountain MS, Bike MS. It's a national organization. Colorado has it every June, early June or July, depending. And so the National MS Society will have dates and lists of activities that people can participate. So, and then there's great Left Hand. I belong to Team Left Hand, which is a brewery up in, and it's one of the largest, nationally, one of the largest ride organizations. It's like 300 people travel around and raise money and bike. And I think it's because they get free beer on occasion. So,
well, it's a good perk. There you go. Yeah, right.
But there's a lot of activities that ways that you can support either people you know or individuals for yourself.
Awesome. That's so awesome. And then if anyone wants to maybe learn more about you, or if I know you're on some of the socials, where can they find you? Or so LinkedIn or wherever.
I'm on LinkedIn, Colin Sherrick, and then on Facebook and on Instagram, although I'm not the most tuned social media person, but I actually belong with a company or a team called Team Zoot, and it's a triathlon team. And a lot of my posts are surrounding activities and along that line. So
that's awesome.
That's been a big motivating factor too, is belonging to a group of individuals that push me like I've never been pushed before to compete. So surround yourself with people that make you successful.
That's so true. Like they always say, you're like the best five people that you're surrounded with.
Absolutely.
So I love that. We'll definitely link that up. So are there any final words that you can think of to share with the listeners just about finding resilience or just about MS or anything that you would like to share with them?
No, I appreciate the time and chatting with me about this. And again, I think it's okay to own it for my resilience. What's helped with me being is understanding and owning, but not letting it beat me, whether that's my MS, whether that's work, whether that's the triathlon, my training. In it, you start to give in, and it's okay to have moments that you give in, but keep those small goals. and keep yourself motivated and pushing. And that's, for me, that's really what's made a difference. So, and it sounds so basic and generic, but the reality is not. And so anyhow.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been great connecting with you and seeing your face and saying hello. And for those of you listening today, thanks for listening. And if you want to drop a review at any time for the podcast, I would super appreciate that. It helps more people to find the podcast and learn more about it. So thank you again, Colin. And we'll see you next time on the Resilient Soul Podcast. Hey, love. I know I don't need to tell you, but we all go through tough times and challenges in our lives where we can feel overwhelmed, burned out, and just like we don't know where to go next in our lives. This I can help you with. I've been trained and certified in both brain and body-based healing modalities and can absolutely get you to where you want to be. And if you're not sure where that is, I can help with that too. My Burnout to Bliss coaching program will help you rewire negative thinking so that you can stop finding yourself on loop and release any blocks in your bodies that keep you from feeling stuck and just not yourself, so you can find the bliss that you've been searching for. So let's just hop on a call and chat. Totally no pressure. Just click on the Burnout to Bliss coaching link below to schedule a time for a free 30-minute consultation. And hey, I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you would, I could use your help reaching more people who can find value from this podcast. And that would be if you leave a 5-star review. So if you would be so kind and offer your review up, this helps get the podcast ranked and found by more people just like you. Thanks so much. Until next time.